Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
Coming soon. The federal government has been trying since 2005. Previously, states pushed back big time. Here in PA, State Representative Sam Rohr and Daryl Metcalf led the charge against this intrusion on our personal freedoms. They are no longer in the General Assembly, unfortunately, and now legislators are buckling. In fact, one Republican has actually circulated a co-sponsorship memo to make it easier to get a real ID. To say the least, this is very troubling. Too many ask, well, what's the big deal? What's the problem with real ID? It's been years since this effort began, and too many have forgotten. My guest today is Twyla Brace. She's a registered nurse and a public health nurse. She's president and co-founder of the Citizens Council on Health Freedom, a national patient-centered, privacy-focused, free market 501c3 health freedom policy organization launched in 1998 to protect patient and doctor freedom. She's author of the 8-time award-winning book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She has also led a decades-long campaign exposing HIPAA as a data-sharing rule. And I think I've had you on, Twyla, to talk about both those issues. Your fight against HIPAA has been decades-long. She's founder of a national online directory of direct pay practices known as the Wedge of Health Freedom, and much more. Thanks, Twyla, for taking time out of your busy schedule and a few phone snafus to be with us today.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
So what is the history behind Real ID?
Well, the history starts, some would say that it starts at 9/11, and the report that came out of that recommended stronger identification cards. But then it really got going in the middle of the night, essentially, in 2005 when on the floor of the U.S. Senate, they decided to put it onto or pass it as part of a tsunami and defense bill. And Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander called it on the floor of the Senate, a national identification card, and said that he wasn't so comfortable with doing this because they had never asked the American people about whether they wanted a national ID card. And of course, that didn't stop anything. The law got passed. 3 years went by and Homeland Security put out its first Real ID rule. And that is when state legislators became alerted to what was done in 2005. And because state legislators saw it as a usurpation of states' rights, mm-hmm. a violation of the 10th Amendment,
right.
And in Pennsylvania, a letter came out later. But in 2008, what happened was 25 states passed laws prohibiting movement toward or conformance with the Federal Real ID Act, and 12 states passed resolutions opposing it. And so basically nothing happened until 2016 when late 2016, Obama came out and said, you can't fly without real ID. And this was meant to scare the American mm-hmm. people into submitting. And it was meant to get these state legislatures to conform to the Real ID Act. And of course, people came to legislators and basically said, fix this. I want to fly. I want to go see my grandchildren. I want to travel. I want to go to my home for the winter, you know, in mm-hmm. Florida or whatever, right? And the legislators were different than they were in 2008. A lot of them didn't have any idea probably what had happened back then. And so essentially over over 2 years, 2017, 2018, all 50 states submitted their state laws to the federal law.
Basically, the federal government waited out and changed tactics when it came to the state legislatures.
Well, it was the Obama administration yeah. that figured out something to, you know, it was a lie. It's always been a lie that you can't fly. That is a lie. But, you know, the trying to get that message across, you know, here in Minnesota, we testified to the, we took it to the mat in 2017, 2018 to defeat it. And we would say that the Department of Homeland Security in their own rule said that this did not, this did not mean that you could not fly. But in, you know, in hearing after hearing after hearing, the authors, the Republican authors, would say that you can't fly without the real ID, even if we would come up with the documents that said that wasn't true. So it was just, you know, it was such a deceptive campaign. The Chamber of Commerce wanted it, you know, the big business wanted it, and they didn't care about the opposition. They didn't care about the constitutional rights of people. They didn't care about states' rights. So they gave away their own, what they had as legislators. They say that they're going to defend constitutional rights. Well, that includes states' rights, which protect the individual rights of the American people.
Right.
But they didn't care.
Unfortunately, there's not enough who do care in Washington, D.C. or state capitals. It's troubling. So the real ID is, you know, of course you get your driver's license and you have the real ID emblem. I don't even know what it looks like because I don't have one. But that becomes basically your driver's license with the which is real ID, or they have the symbol down there. Is that how it works? And the driver's license used as a national ID card. Is that pretty much
what? Yeah. That's right. So this is the imposition of a national ID system on the American people using the state driver's license and state IDs that now become real IDs. And you'll notice that they are not real driver's licenses, right? They're called real IDs because this is something that has been federalized. And, you know, this is, again, it's a deception because they add that little star up in the corner. And I think in Washington State, it's a flag, but everywhere else, it's a star. And then if you don't have the real ID with the star and you still have a state driver's license, a standard license, it will say something like not for federal purposes or not for real ID purposes. Mm-hmm. And so what's happening here is that there's a new wrinkle because the TSA and Homeland Security decided that they've had enough of the American people stalling. So, right, this has been a long, I mean, 2005 was 20 years ago.
Right.
And then 2016, and they got a certain percentage of people to submit. And then, you know, they've been trying to get more people to submit. And then COVID came and they've had to just move the deadline. And so now they have moved the deadline, or 2 years ago, they moved the deadline to May 7th, 2025. Mm-hmm. So we're talking just a few weeks from now. And the TSA came out with a rule in January. And they basically said, we're not going to move the deadline anymore. This is going to be the deadline. But what they said was, there's two more years to enforce it. so it's like it's really fake. It's really two more years. Yeah. But what they're going to do during these 2 years is what they call progressive enforcement with progressive consequences. But when you look at the rule itself, which I have read, what you'll see is that TSA and Homeland Security are very concerned about simply dropping the hammer on May 7th. They're even probably concerned about dropping the hammer in 2 years, which is why they want to do progressive enforcement for 2 years so that they can finally drop the hammer on May 5th, 2027 and say that everybody needs a real ID or, but they don't say, a real ID compliant ID, which there are 16 of, including passports and passport cards. Anyway, because when you look at the rule, they came up with several things. They said, well, for the next 2 years, you could just hand out notices at the airport and say, you know, you have until May 5th to do this. Mm-hmm. Or they could do three strikes and you're out and they'll send you back. But they said that would take a database and we'd have to determine what's a strike. Is it a one-way trip, a round trip? And then how are we going to collect the data from all these airports as to when they've hit their third strike? And then they do talk about the concern of violence, backlash on TSA agents. So from our perspective, I mean, your listeners need to understand, I think, why they should refuse the Real ID. We got an entire a web page about with information as to what the Real ID actually means and how it's going to be used against them. And so if you'd like, I could talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically it is something like HIPAA. It's a data gathering apparatus of the federal government. So they would track you whenever you fly. They would be able to track you when you fly. They'd be able to track you if you enter a federal building. It is truly a national ID, and it infringes on our freedom of movement. That's the way I interpret the whole thing. They don't want you to go someplace without them knowing that you've gone, if you're flying or entering a federal building.
I think the most important thing to know is it's not going to stop with flying. And so what the federal law says is that the Real ID is required for access to federal buildings, nuclear facilities, and commercial flights, and any other official purposes as determined by the Secretary of Homeland Security. So it could be required.
That's what the law says? Anything else?
That's what the law says.
Oh, wow.
So that means it could be required for access to medical care, for opening a bank account, for getting married, for buying a gun. Whatever they would decide. And what we're really looking at here is that the DMVs want to digitize the Real ID. They testified to Congress in December of 2023 about their plan to digitize the Real ID, put it on people's personal phones, and have remote access to it to alter it in real time. That means they could shut it down in real time. So what we're really talking about here is an ID that not only pings the DMV every time it gets used for any purpose, right? But we're also talking about the possibility of moving towards a social credit system for America, much like the command and control social credit system in China. This is not a small deal. This is not just a different version of a state driver's license. This is a national, a digital national ID card that will allow tracking, control of movement, and access to services, transactions, and anything else that you can think of.
We're entering a brave new world. That's the only way I can describe
it. The whole idea is to stop the brave new world, and that is one of the reasons why. So I would encourage your listeners to go to refusereal.org, refusereal.org, and we actually have a document there to help you go back to your standard driver's license if you have a Real ID today.
Okay.
Because they want to get this nation to the tipping point where they can suddenly flip the switch and say it's Real ID for all, or you have no access to anything. And so we need to increase the number of people who do not have the Real ID. We must change the trajectory. We must move in the opposite direction. They're all trying right now to scare everybody that if you don't have a Real ID by May 7th of this year, you can't fly. That's a lie. It's a lie by their own regulation. That is not true. But it also, it's really important to understand its freedom is at stake in this country. And already on the Real ID, it is the geometry of your face, facial recognition software. But the rules say that they can increase the number of biometrics required. Like they could say, we need your iris scan on the card. We need your thumbprint. We need your palm print. We need your DNA, right?
So this so they can sell it to China so they can sell it to China like what, a 23andMe or whatever. Yeah.
Well, there is that, but there's also the fact that they're going to use your body, your body parts to control you.
Wow.
their biometrics are the things that are personal about you, and they're going to gather all this data at the government level and then have the ability to control your access and transactions and decisions and purchases and travel. And that's where we can go. You know, if Harris had gotten in, how quickly would we have gone in that direction, right? Climate change, making sure people, 15-minute cities, making sure you don't travel outside of them, the vax passports, right? So this is really important. Everybody needs to go to refusereal.org, get educated, and tell your friends, neighbors, colleagues to look what's in their billfold. What is in their purse? If they have a real ID, go and get it switched. We just had somebody in California who told us that they went to the DMV and they just switched it. And they got a standard driver's license again, and they're just planning to use a passport to fly in case our organization, so we're leading this charge. If we are not successful, we've got bigger problems than us not being successful.
Well, true.
If we're not successful in stopping this, you know, just be able to sleep at night because you have a passport.
Yeah.
You know, if you're worried, just get a passport, but do not get the real ID.
Right. And that's what I've been encouraging folks to do, is to get a passport rather than real ID. Because I refuse to get real ID. I haven't got a passport yet either, but that's on my, you know, things I need to do on my list. But I've been definitely been encouraging folks not to get a real ID, but get a passport instead. And I hadn't even thought about, you know, once the majority of Americans get a real ID, the federal government could then at that point make it mandatory that all get a real ID. Much deeper, much worse than what I actually envisioned. So
if they really wanted to force people, every person to submit, the Secretary of Homeland Security would say that you have to have a real ID to access medical care. Because not everybody needs to fly, not everybody will fly. Everybody needs medical care.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't flown since 2008, and that was my last planned flight, as far as that goes. I'll drive, thank you. But if you're, you know, but if you're talking about, you know, medical care and everything else, that has very far-reaching tentacles into our very existence, and it's wow. Wasn't the original intent? Because I always thought it just came out of 9/11. And that it was one of the laws that was passed to quote unquote protect us. But the way I've seen the majority of those laws, such as the Patriot Act, what I've seen those, they're more a means to restrict Americans and to infringe upon our rights. And I just assume that this was, and I think it is also part of the effort to restrict our movements and such as that. But as you're describing it, definitely is much far reaching than just the government keeping tabs of where we go. It's the government's ability, the potential ability to restrict our very lives, our very livelihoods, and everything else. So,
yes. And so in Minnesota, we stopped the digital ID legislation. But Idaho, they recently passed it, and I think it's been signed by the governor.
Idaho.
Because
it just seems
convenient, right? It's not convenient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's part of the net, right? It's a digital net surveillance system.
Which we don't want any part of. So, but, you know, Idaho, I always think of Idaho being ultra conservative, and Minnesota, not so much, especially with your governor. But you guys are there, active on the ground, and you're active in other states too. But you're able to stop it, and that was good. So this was the digital ID. So DMVs can request or can ask legislators to pass a law that will allow them to do the digital. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's correct, and I believe there are 13 or 14 states already that have. Have passed laws that allow the DMV to offer a digital ID. And so everybody also needs to refuse the digital ID because this is, I mean, they, it's you know, it's real ID. They want it all digitized.
Right.
So you need to have your ID in your hand. You can't let anybody sit there and control it from afar.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to say no to everything that is moving in that direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would kind of encourage people to really look at their credit card and look at what they're doing with Apple Pay and just think about how much do they want to allow the system to progress? Because as more people do it, you know, there are planes now. You can't buy food on the plane unless you do it with a credit card, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that is what it eventually just tightens
yeah.
because people are looking at a convenience. And,
right.
and finally, you know, the airline said, well, we're just going to say basically you can't have food unless you bring it on board if you don't pay for it with a credit card.
Right.
So they already dropped that hammer, right?
Wow.
several years ago.
Yeah. And I can remember when I first flew on a plane when I went to college back several years ago, put it like that. They flew from Baltimore to Atlanta and they served a full course meal and all that stuff. And it was all part of, you know, you didn't pay any extra. It was all part of the plane ticket, which I think was like $69 or so from Baltimore. And ultimately ended up in Houston, all Baltimore with a change of flight in Atlanta on to Houston. But it was like $69-$70. And they fed me, not just me, but everybody else too. And how it's changed, and not for the good, but as you're saying, convenience. Americans want convenience, and they're ignoring the potential government overstep and potential government use of their everything about them. And it's not good at all. So you guys have the a website, refusereal.org, where folks can go and get more information. Back to the DHS, does their rule still say at this point that Real ID is not required to fly? Is that what the...
Yeah, so it doesn't say it's not required to fly. It says something on the order of DHS cannot say what documents are required to fly.
Okay.
That's what it's something kind of that nebulous. But what we know is that if you really look into the fine print, and most of the media don't actually say it, but at the airport, it will often say a Real ID or Real ID compliant identification mm-hmm. card. And that means all of the other TSA acceptable identification cards, including a passport, mm-hmm. a passport ID, mm-hmm. a passport card. A VA medical card, a military card, and there are some others.
Okay.
But the thing to understand is where this is going. So people can't just look at this and say this is just a driver's license.
Right.
They've got to see where it's going and see why they need to get the passport card, which is as small as a driver's license, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that they can feel calm. And they don't have to worry about flying or not. And then just refuse the Real ID or turn their ID back.
Right.
And I would love to hear people's stories. If people have stories about how that worked, we are trying to gather those stories. We just heard from somebody in Colorado, tried to do it, and Colorado says, well, we don't do that anymore. Well, now we're going to look at the law and the rules and say, are you just saying that? Because actually the law and the rules say that you still have to provide it if somebody wants it, because DHS, Homeland Security, says there's only 5 states that don't allow you to have a standard driver's license: Florida, Georgia, Texas, Wyoming, and Mississippi.
They don't
all the other states.
They
there's
don't,
no choice in those states.
In those 5 states.
Right. There's no choice.
They have to have Real ID.
Yes. And so this is one of the reasons We're doing billboards. We're asking people to put up our billboard, mm-hmm. and the first billboard's being put up in Texas. And this should alert people to the fact that they can't actually make the switch. But we're going to tell them, because they need to understand they don't have a simple driver's license in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It's a national ID, and so that should hopefully put some pressure on Texas governor and legislators. And so then we hope to have billboards you know, around the country to move this. And in really good news, there are state legislators in probably about 8 or 9 states that are starting to introduce bills to extract themselves from conforming to real ID. And this is really wonderful.
Right. And Pennsylvania is not one of them, unfortunately. But the states that you named that they have, the citizens have no choice but to get a real ID. I mean, I would picture, you know, I would define them as, or describe them as, pretty conservative. Talking about Mississippi and Florida and Texas and Wyoming. I mean, those are the ones I remember you said. You know, do their governors not understand? It makes no sense why they're doing what they're doing, or they did what they did.
This is a long time ago, probably, when they complied. They may not have been part of the original, 25 states, mm-hmm. right? But this is really a conservative initiative. It's like, well, we need voter ID, we need this, we need that. Well, yes. Put it at the state level. It should never be at the federal level. So Lamar Alexander was correct.
Mm-hmm.
He was uncomfortable with a national ID. Well, why? Because it's unconstitutional to have federal control over the states and the people.
Yeah, 10th Amendment. Folks need to read their constitutions, that's for sure. So refusereal ID.org is the website for this. And what is your overall website where folks can go and check out HIPAA and stuff like that? Know the things you're doing.
Yes, they can go to cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. And this is the beginning of our Truth About HIPAA month.
Okay.
So, you and I are talking on April Fool's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's true. It's not a joke. HIPAA does not protect your privacy. Never has. True. Never will, and we have to change that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, about April Fool's, but yeah, this is April 1st, for sure. So cchfreedom.org is your overall website, and then dealing strictly with real ideas, refusereal ID.org. Wow, and I appreciate it. I mean, you are always a wellhouse of information on various issues and the impact that it can have on, you know, the lives of Americans. You know, the things that are coming out of the federal government. We have to be careful because I think the majority of Americans, according to November 5th, like the guy in the White House right now, but they have to be aware of things that were already in progress before he took the oath of office in January, and things he may well not understand. So anyway, but thanks so much, Twyla. I appreciate it. And you take care.
Thank you, Diane.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.